You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Line Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And today we are live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action and it is a big old ball game tonight hosting the St. Louis Blues. And no, it's not. Have to have it to make the playoffs, but it does kind of feel that way. So we will get into all things Predators and preview that game tonight. Elliot Friedman will join the show at 1 p.m. And we get Willie for the full show today.
Yes. We're making fun of Willie today. He and Chris, even though Chris is not here. Y'all got benched, man.
Yeah.
The
upperclassmen came in and, you know, they came in the dorm and they took your bedroom. They made y'all move to the much smaller room with
the
no bathroom.
The hot guy stole your girl.
Yeah. Been there before.
Don't worry, Willie. I told you. I know where their locker's at. I'm going to put some itching powder in their pants, man.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, John, if you see John Butchergrass running down section 310 exactly. Like they did in Revenge of the Nerds when they put the hot stuff in there,
that's
John Goodman said, hey, we forgot to practice.
Oh, man.
So, oh, boy.
Preds in action tonight.
ESPN Plus.
ESPN game.
Yeah.
Yep. ESPN game tonight, and it is a big one. It's a big one. But I do want to start here because it is Willie's favorite season. It is NFL mock draft season. And a couple of days ago when we were back here at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, D-Base and I were almost laughing about how every single mock draft that I had looked at, five different mock drafts from different NFL draft insiders, from ESPN and The Athletic and NFL.com, every single one had Joe Alt to the Titans. And I thought that very much so could be the case. But also, it's never, ever that simple. A couple of new mock drafts came out. There's one mock draft from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. And Field Yates of ESPN released his new mock draft yesterday. I'm going to give both of you one guess as to who both of those mock drafts have the Titans taking.
Oh, man. God, this is hard.
Kid out of Michigan State, Derek Mason.
Derek Mason.
Exactly.
Thrown back in the draft pool.
And I'm going in the first round this time.
Yep. I mean, they heard about the AFL, the Arena League tryout with the Cats. They're like, wait a minute. Let's move them up on the board.
Hey, I'm here.
We're not giving them to the Cats. We're taking them. We're taking them back.
I love it.
We also, side note, had several angry texters into the text line. Like, I just bought all my new Nashville Cats gear because I was so excited about seeing Derek Mason.
Y'all had to know it was the first day of April, so it's an April Fool's Day joke, people. I'm sorry if I disappointed you. I really am. But no, one Joe Alt.
What a surprise.
Great guess.
Uh-huh.
Great guess. Out of nowhere, truly.
Yes, out of nowhere.
A shock to us all. Both Field Yates in his most recent mock draft and Bruce Feldman in his most recent mock draft have the Tennessee Titans selecting Joe Alt at 7th overall. And it's interesting because looking at all of these mock drafts, the path to Joe Alt falling to the Titans is different in several of them. A lot of them have the Vikings trading up to 4 with the Arizona Cardinals and the Vikings selecting J.J. McCarthy, or it's the receivers falling, or it's maybe a defensive player going earlier than any of us anticipated. But all signs point to, all roads lead to, Joe Alt being a Tennessee Titan. But the interesting thing that I wanted to really break down here with Field Yates' mock draft is what he has the Titans doing in the second round. With the 33rd overall pick, Field Yates has the Tennessee Titans trading up with the Carolina Panthers to draft Darius Robinson, the edge rusher out of Missouri. Now, we heard from TD earlier this week about Darius Robinson, and we can get into exactly what that pick would be, what that pick would represent. But first, wanted to get your thoughts overall on just the Titans trading up into the second round. And Field Yates' mock draft, the compensation is a 4th round this year and next year in order to move up from 38 to 33. What do we think of it?
I don't like it. I don't like moving up. I don't like – they need picks. They need to acquire picks. And I'm always skeptical. Look, I know these guys work really hard on these mock drafts. But when you're speculating trades in a mock draft, that
and
is...
compensation.
And the compensation, that's just... That's too much for me. Like, I'm not interested. We always make fun of the person, like, okay, I'm sitting in my room, I'm working on my mock draft, I've got the sixth round, it's pick number 176, who am I going with here? Like, the amount of time and energy put into that is great. I commend them for doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not paying attention. And so these drafts, when you are sitting there and the clock is going, especially in the second round, right, you don't have that much time. No. That could be something that's spur of the moment. So to predict that, come on. But in principle, I would say they don't need to be giving up picks. Mm-hmm. Even though you're saying, oh, that's a fifth round. They need those picks. Mm-hmm. They need to bolster the depth. They need a lot of players. The only way you can bolster and build a deep roster, you got to have picks.
Yeah, that what they have the 38th pick in the second round, and Phil Yates is suggesting that they may move up or could move up mm-hmm. to the 33rd.
33rd, yeah, correct.
33rd.
So the first overall pick in the second round.
And get an edge rush. I'm not going to, poo-poo the actual, like, pick, meaning the player or the position. But, like, Willie, moving up, you're moving up five spaces to get him. You know, I think that would be a little bit too much.
And what's wrong with the guy at 38? Like, is he that much better?
If you feel that if this is your guy that you earmarked and you want to get him in the second round, and you feel you have to move up to get him, then he better turn out to be Derrick Henry. Essentially, that's what he better turn out to be.
A
guy that's going to give you high production mm-hmm. once he cracks the starting line.
AJ Brown
in the second round.
Or Justin Hunter, who they did trade up to get in
and
the second round.
He was a total bust.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you better make sure that, you know, this guy is worth, you know, you moving up in the draft and giving up picks. Somewhere else, whether it be in this year's draft or next year's draft. Because essentially, I think this guy, if this is a guy that, you know, the Titans are earmarking, he may just fall to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't spend the first day or the last hours of the first day trying to put together a trade just to move up five spots. Now, if somebody, you know, is willing to, you know, move down, then I may think about it. But I'm not moving up to get it. I'm not actively calling teams to move up. Now, if a team called me and they want to move back, swap spots, okay, let's do it. You know, depending on what you want to give up, because you called me, I ain't call you. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what you want to give up. But I'm not giving – I'm trying to build my team. I've done from where we look at it now, or how we look at it now, they've done a good job in free agency. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been a great, it's been a good, solid job in free agency. I don't want to then give up picks. I need to build my team. I'm trying to build this team, so I don't want to give up any picks. Even giving up a fourth or fifth rounder in next year's draft, to me, is too much, because you're trying to build a team, and you're giving it up what? To move up five spots to get a guy that may be there mm-hmm. at 38 anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I'm not saying that the position is wrong to get, because I think they need an edge rusher.
They need an edge rusher.
But to try to move up, if you move up, he better be an A.J. Brown, a Derrick Henry, guys like that that you draft, that you moved up in the second round to get.
Second rounders that give you first round contributions.
Exactly. Absolutely. Because that's essentially what you're doing. You're moving up.
And let's be honest, like 33 is basically the first round.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And you could also make the argument that like 20 through 32 is basically the second round, but it's all, you know, you're splitting hairs there. I think the Titans trading up in the second round last year to mm-hmm. take Will Levis is a different story.
Yes.
That you view quarterback just differently. So that I completely understood. Whenever we talk about moving up, first round, second round, third round, whatever it is, I have to ask a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. One, do you have to have him? You have to have him. And you don't want to get him at 7 because he's not a top 10 player in this year's draft. But you look at him and you say, that guy is going to change the defense. We need him. Well, if we're going to go by Field Yates's mock draft on ESPN.com, well, do the Titans have to have Darius Robinson, and do they have to trade up to 33 to get him?
As opposed actually, to what? That's the other thing. They have so many needs.
Well, and that's the other question is, well, what's the alternative? Right. Who would be there at 38? Could he be
who
there
does he
at
have at
38?
38? Just for argument's sake. These are the things that I don't know how his mind works. He's really good.
Yeah,
Field Yates
great. Yeah.
Knows his stuff, but I just, again, to try to put the puzzle together for 32 teams,
that's
it's, kinda, it's his job, but there's no way he can know that. He's just, it's pure speculation, but it does give you food for thought. I think you can get a guy at 38 with all the needs that they have, still fill a need. Because I think with first and second picks, there's probably you have the two circles, whatever you call that in class where they say, the diagram. And where the two circles intersect uh-huh. is really what you want, and that is need and the best player available. You would like to think that with the 7th overall pick and then the 38th, you can hit two needs with players that on your board fit that. You're not reaching for either one. It's in the sweet spot.
Yeah,
so you don't need to trade up to get one of those guys at 38. I wouldn't think, because you have so many needs.
Yeah.
It's not like we need – the only thing we need is X, Y, Z. Then maybe you think about making a trade like that.
Because he may be that guy that you're looking for. I can see them possibly moving down to acquire more picks as the draft
I'm more interested in that.
And they see how the draft is falling. I can see the Titans then moving back a couple of spots, trying to recoup a pick somewhere around there. But, I mean – listen, 1 through 10, 1 through 5 is hard to pick. How are you picking 33 and 38? 1 through 5 is hard to pick in the mock draft. How then do you pick 33, in the second draft? Yeah. And I get it. He's trying to piece this puzzle together and the needs of teams, where players are positioned, where they're ranked as far as the totality of the draft, not just their position. So I understand sort of the formula, how he's putting all this stuff together. But I can't, to say they're moving up to get this defensive end. I think they need a defensive end, yes. But to move up to get him?
Well, and it's a total inexact science.
Exactly.
But the mock draft, that's all we got right now.
Absolutely.
And so I'm looking at it through the scope of if this was reality, if this is how the draft played out, would we like it? Would we agree with it? Would we disagree with it? And when it comes to moving up, the first question has to be, do you need him? Is it really like our guy and we will do whatever it takes to get him? And the other question is, well, who would be available if we just stayed put? And looking at Field Yates' mock draft, he has Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida, going at 38. I wouldn't mind the Titans taking Ricky Pearsall or Keon Coleman, who Field Yates has going at 40 to the Washington Commanders, or Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, who Field Yates has going at 41, or even Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama, who Field has going at 43 to Atlanta, Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle out of Houston, who Field has going 44 to Washington. How many freaking second-round picks does Washington have? I mean, my goodness. But, I mean, that
they
just
got Xavier Leggett still on the board.
Xavier Leggett, Field had going
34,
at 34.
Right after,
so that would have been right before the Titans would pick at 38. But, I mean, Kool-Aid is on the board. Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia, is on the board. Like, several players.
Is he that high of a pick, second round, McConkey? Is he projected that high?
I think he's projected mid-second round to early third.
Interesting.
Day two pick.
I have not studied up on some of these guys. That's just one that pops out to me as a guy I've watched a lot. He doesn't strike me as a second rounder, but he's an excellent football player. I just didn't know if he would grade out that high.
Yeah.
In my mind, more of a mid-round pick. I guess for me, I would ask the question in general, now that you've made the big investment in Ridley, you're keeping DeAndre Hopkins, you still have Treylon Burks, are you still reaching for, now if it's the best person on your board, regardless of if that happens to be a wide receiver, then I can see that. But I'm not looking necessarily for a wide receiver at 38. If, again, we're assuming they take Alt with number 7, which is not a sure thing for sure. They've got to get the tackle.
But we're not the only ones.
That's the one
that.
Enormous
exactly.
need
yeah, exactly.
that they've got to have that they obviously have not addressed. So it would just lead you to believe that that's what they're thinking. But for the second pick, I don't know if I'm looking around for a receiver unless that guy is the best player on my board.
He's the best player on the board. Yeah, because they don't.
Best that's receiver not, on the board, I think, is a different
need.
Question
it's
because they just
need.
Invested $50 million
exactly.
in Ridley. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. I still think you're looking at you want to have some space for Burks to try to go win a spot somewhere mm-hmm. in the mix, or unless you're just completely moving on from him.
And I wouldn't
be like on the hunt. Hey, is there where? How can we get the wide receiver? I think it's a little more of who's falling to that spot. Is it and who's the best player on the board? The edge rusher would be ideal.
I think right now.
I think I'd love to get that next edge rusher that can throw a little youth into that group.
Well, you know? I would agree. If the Titans win tackle and edge rusher 1-2,
I'd have no problem
with
that.
Zero complaints whatsoever.
Well, they got to get help for not necessarily Jeffrey Simmons, but they got to get somebody on the other side of Harold Landry. They have to. It's going to be critical for Harold Landry, and I think it's going to be critical for that defense. So I think two positions that were I'm not going to say dire need because tackle is a dire need. But the other two positions that was of need was wide receiver and cornerback. And you can basically X those two positions out. At least the first 2 to 3 rounds. They don't have a third round pick as of now, so it really doesn't matter. But I think, you know, at least the first round, the second round, and maybe even the fourth round, you have put yourself in a position where you don't have to go searching for a wide receiver or a defensive back because you have three defensive back that I think they feel comfortable with. McQuarrie is the nickel back. Mm-hmm. So they feel comfortable with the three corners they got before going to get Sneed and
Chidobe-Awuzie.
Yeah, Awuzie. Mm-hmm. Now they have their corners. They went out and they made some other moves. They got really a wide receiver. So before free agency, those were big needs. Now they're not big needs. Now what is a big need for them is the defensive end, is an inside backer, and potentially a safety. Now they can address the safety position after the draft with a veteran safety, which they may do anyway. But defensive end has jumped receiver and cornerback. Why? Because they've already addressed it through free agency. So to me, if that defensive end is there, do I move up to get him? He better be the best player on the board. I mean, period, regardless of what positions. If he's the best player on the board, regardless of positions, then yes, I can see them moving up. But if he's not, I see them staying put and still drafting that defensive end.
And look, I would be against trading up in the second round mm-hmm. to take anyone, period. Unless they view this player that they would trade up to draft, and of course in Field Yates' mock draft, that player that they have taking at 33 overall in a mock trade is Darius Robinson, the edge rusher out of Missouri, who is a heck of a player.
Yeah.
If the Titans view him as more impactful than any player that could be there at 38 and also more impactful than any player that they could find in the fourth round. If they can justify that and say, we believe that this guy is going to be better than anyone that we could get at 38 or in the fourth, then I can live with it. But when you have such limited picks, I'm against giving up any more. I'm against putting even more eggs in a singular basket when you have so many needs. And then that brings up the philosophical question of drafting for need versus drafting the best player available. At 7, I'm in the business for the best player available. If that's receiver, if that's tackle, whatever it is, take the best player on the board. But since the Titans do have so many needs and they do have so few picks, at some point you have to start prioritizing need. Is that in the second round? Is that in the fourth round? I don't know when that comes for them. But if they have, let's say, hypothetically speaking, I'll take Kool-Aid McKinstry. If Kool-Aid McKinstry, when they're picking at 38, is the best player available, but you have a Darius Robinson at Missouri that's on the board, but you have him a couple slots below Kool-Aid McKinstry, take Darius Robinson because he's more of a need than Kool-Aid, who plays a position that you already addressed in free agency. Could you add more cornerback depth? Yeah, absolutely. But right now, I think edge rusher is a much more dire need than corner. So it's balancing the two, both need and best player available.
Yeah, because you can always and listen, they're going to need more cornerbacks. That's just the way it is. We saw this team when everybody started dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a good picture because they didn't have the depth. Now they can go out and get another corner via free agency and through the draft. So just because, to me, if you're sitting there, if you don't move up, say you stay at 38, and the best player is available for you, and he is a player of need, I don't mind that.
Jackpot.
I really don't. Or even if he's, like, if you have, you know, three guys up there, and he may be the second of the three, if you want to get him, because obviously he feels a need for you that you want to plug, whether it be a starter or depth, and you feel he's a good player. Mm-hmm. So you take him. You take him if he's the second player. You take him if he's the first. If he's the first player on the board in regards to your needs and best player available. To me, just get somebody in here that's going to help this team win ball games. If it's a player of need, great. If it's not a player of need, then okay, find a place for him. But if you're going to do that, you better get that tackle in the first round, because – if you don't get that tackle in the first round, you come and you start doing that outside the first round, I'm not sure if Titans fans are going to like that, mm-hmm. because they look at it as, well, you didn't address the tackle position in the first round, and now you're getting somebody that's outside of a need, mm-hmm. just because he's the best player available.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, this is Field Yates' mock draft. He has the Titans trading up from 38 to 33. I'm against that, frankly. Yeah. You don't have enough picks. I'm not in the business of
get
giving
Field
up
on the horn.
Picks.
Tell him we're out.
Field,
we're out.
Field, you're fired.
No, nope. Yes. You're fired.
Field, you're fired. Coming up next, though, there's another mock draft that just came out this morning from Bruce Feldman in The Athletic.
Yates out, Feldman in. What
Feldman,
do you got, Feldman? What do you got
in.
For me?
Welcome back in. He also has the Titans taking Joe Alt at 7. Surprise, surprise. I love that he's doing something different and shaking things up. But he does have the Titans taking Joe Alt over who is perceived to be one of the top three, top five players in this year's draft. Could we live with that? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Your reaction to Field Yates' mock draft, taking the Titans taking Joe Alt with the 7th overall pick and trading up in the second round. Are you for trading up? Are you against trading up? We'll get into your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Look, they came in guns blazing talking about explosiveness and touchdowns. And NPF is not explosive. Say the words. Repeat those words. NPF is
NWI
is not explosive.
I want you to know what position
I
you're talking about first. You
Nick
got
Westbrook
that?
Okay. Akine is not explosive. Repeat those words.
I never said he was.
Well, let's say it. Let's get it on the record. No, you're not saying he's not explosive.
I'm not Bart Simpson, the chalkboard for you. I'm not your little puppet.
Is he explosive?
No. I never said he was.
Mark that on tape, Nick.
9-minute
mark
run.
That on tape.
9-minute run.
He's not
Kaharsky.
Explosive. So, no, he's not what they're looking for.
It's a huge
come down if he's the third receiver.
Right. I'm just saying.
And he's the third receiver because Burks is going to get hurt. And Phillips is going to get hurt. And those guys are gravy. If they look, I know
they should get another receiver.
Okay, well, we're moving away. Everybody's moving away from receiver because they signed Ridley, and they're like, okay, they cannot get a receiver now in the top two. They still need a receiver. And I mean, if Neighbors is there at 7, they should run like hell to get Neighbors and screw left tackle for a little while, then go tackle at 38.
That was Paul Kaharsky on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're live out here at Barrel House of Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the St. Louis Blues tonight. Paul says, screw the left tackle. Take the receiver. If Malik Neighbors is there at 7, you run to take the receiver. That was my best Paul Kuharsky impression. It needs work. I'm working on it.
You got time.
We got plenty of time here. Yeah. So, Paul, I apologize. But, you know, just. You
Who
know,
was he saying is not explosive?
NWI.
Nick Westbrook Akine. Nick Westbrook isn't. What you would
who was surely nobody was arguing that he was explosive.
But I think what Joe was getting at is that because they went out and got Ridley, now he may been suggesting something else. But I think because of, you know, the text line and it not, you know, the fans are looking at it as it's not a big need now because you've already addressed it. Mm-hmm. Before you addressed it with Ridley, it was 1B next to your tackle.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to flip it, however you wanted to do it. But since they went and got Ridley and they signed Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back, depth pieces, and he has a – listen, don't disrespect the man. The man's a – he's a damn good player, okay?
NWI?
NWI.
He is what he is.
He's a damn good player. He's been able to survive all these changes that they've made, you know, whether he's the 3, the 4, the 5, not playing specialty. But all he does is put his head down, go to work, and to bail the damn Titans out every chance. Every time he gets an opportunity to, he bails them out. Whether it be on a third down, a crucial touchdown, he finds a way to bail them out. That's why they keep him on the roster. He's a good player. But he's not what you think of as explosive. He's a solid player that can get you the catches when ain't nobody paying attention. And then when they are, he can still make those tough catches. But when you're looking at the receiver position, and I'm going to say this because you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like when you don't have a left tackle for 10, 15, 20 years. We've had the luxury of having a left tackle since I've known it, other than the last 2 years, whether it was Hoppy, whether it was Roos, whether it was Taylor, mm-hmm. and you can throw other guys in there. The Titans have had a left tackle, so they hadn't had to worry about it. They've had to worry about the last two seasons. And to suggest that if Neighbors and Alt is there, you take Neighbors – you're a damn fool. I'm not saying Paul's a damn fool, but I'm saying you, because that is an extension of your quarterback, that left tackle. You need to get him and protect him because you say, well, we can get a left tackle in the second round. Go try to find him in the second round. Pass up on Alt if you want to and try to go get your left tackle in the second round. And if it don't work out, your ass going to have another job and everybody's going to be around here. Well, they should have drafted the left tackle in the first round. Yes. And they should. If Alt's there, they need to draft him because that is a position that every team in the National Football League outside the quarterback, if every team can have a left tackle for the next 10 or 15 years, everybody would be happy. It would be a happy world. That's why left tackles, when you find them, that's why they don't hit the market until they're like in year 12 or 13. Or if they do hit the market, it's because the guy's been injured. You know, he hadn't been able to play a lot. But if you got you a player at left tackle, he's retiring with the team that drafted him. That's just like a quarterback. So, people, get over this. And I know how the league is. Everybody's gearing toward wide receivers, and that's great. I get it, because you have some fabulous wide receivers out there. But make no mistake. If you don't have your left tackle, your quarterback going to be on his ass every other play. Ask Joe Burrow. Ask him. I know they made it to the Super Bowl, but what happened? Tell me what happened that last play. Everybody tell me what happened that last play. And they had Chase. They had T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, the tight end, Mixon. They had all these great weapons. What happened?
Well, and he still got hurt this past season.
And he still got sacked, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because the offensive line was trash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trash. Trash. Get you a left tackle and don't worry about that receiver. You can find a receiver in the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth round. But I don't know if you're going to find a tackle outside that first round.
What is Paul's left tackle plan?
And I'm not saying that, you know, it is what it is. And I get it. Neighbors is just like, or Harrison is like, if he fought, we got to. Okay. But what happens if you don't solidify that left side?
You
ain't going to be getting the ball to those guys. Your quarterback's going to be hurt more times than he's going to be out there on the field. These are just real facts. This is not something that I'm making up, because you didn't have a left tackle the last 2 years, and what has happened? Your quarterbacks, not one, but plural, have gotten hurt because your offensive line has been horrible. Mm-hmm. So adjust the tackle position and come back with the wide receiver position. I wouldn't touch a wide receiver in the first two rounds this year. I wouldn't. I got my group of wide receivers. I wouldn't touch them. I'll wait till next year. Or I'll wait till the fifth or sixth round to get me a wide receiver. But I wouldn't touch one in the first round. I get old. If old is there, now if old's not there, then okay. But if old is there and everyone, there's a consensus. Old is a plug and play. He's a guy you're not going to have to worry about for the next 12 years. I could see if I was the only person saying this. Mm-hmm. But it seems like every person out there that has watched him say what? That he's a plug and play.
He's great.
Just throw him in there. He'll be fine.
I believe it was TD that said there's no other more pro-ready prospect in this draft than Joe Alt.
Okay, if there's no other guy out there that is more pro-ready than him, why would you go outside that? Why would you not take him if he's there?
I think Paul's point was...
What's his plan for the tackle?
He said take a tackle in the second round. I think
why you can't say take a receiver in the second round?
If you believe that Malik Nabers is going to be a difference maker. And I think Paul's perspective is it's not just a grocery list where you have one thing on the list and once you get that thing, you cross it off. Because, yes, the Titans addressed wide receiver and free agency, but it's Calvin Ridley and it's DeAndre Hopkins and then it's a bunch of role players. And as much as we love Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and as much as he has a cult following among Titans fans and Joe Rexroad is the captain of the NWI cheerleading squad, he is what he is, and he's not explosive, and he's not going to be that go-to guy, as reliable as he has been for you. So if you have the opportunity to get faster and to get more explosive, which is what Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon have talked about doing, mm-hmm. being faster, stretching the field, being more explosive, adding more to the passing game, and if you think Malik Nabers can be that difference maker, then you do that. Mm-hmm. And I understand that perspective.
I get that if Alt is not on the board. If Alt is not there, I understand you pivoting to Nabers or Dunze.
Or trade down.
Yeah,
I
understand it from that point. But if he's there, why are we even, I know why we are, but we've been screaming about a left tackle for 2 years. 2 years we've been screaming and yelling, they need to get a left tackle. They need to get a left tackle. They drafted a guard. They should have drafted a left tackle. And now everybody said, well, Nabers there, take him.
To be fair, we've also been barking about the Titans getting a receiver too.
Well, no, we
but they've no, addressed
no, 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 no.
It,
they tried to address hard. It. Yeah, they tried to address receiver from Corey Davis to A.J. Brown to
we're no longer
Burke,
here.
Hop, and now Calvin Ridley.
Well, I mean, in the current moment,
they've addressed
Hopkins
it.
Hopkins and Ridley have addressed that position for better or worse. I mean, it's been addressed.
Now, I know it's not a long-term fix in regards to D-Hop. I know that. Mm-hmm. But you will get two good, solid seasons out of D-Hop, maybe more if you choose to sign him back after this year. And then you're banking on Calvin Ridley to sort of extend it. You're getting two from D-Hop. Then you're getting possibly 3 to 4 from Calvin Ridley. And you're hoping that Treylon Burks. But if he doesn't come on the way you think, mm-hmm. he's just a good player, then you can draft a wide receiver next year. And it coincides with Calvin Ridley. Now this young wide receiver can play with a veteran guy.
And it is easy to say, take a left tackle next year, take a receiver next year. You don't know what next year's draft is really going to look like. Like, it's not every single day that you'll get a game changer at either of those positions that comes out every single year. But I think my conclusion here is, right now, today, on April 4th, and on draft day, most likely, if both of those players are available to you, which... there's a likelihood that there will be. I don't know if I can say that there's a wrong choice.
I'm not saying that there's...
Now, 3 years from now...
you would know if there's a wrong choice. I'm not saying whether it's a... If both guys are there, I'm not saying that, Paul's wrong with saying, if you do indeed take this receiver, if they take Nabers, okay, you took Nabers. But you better find a left tackle.
Yeah, and where...
You better find... Because... the likelihood of you finding a left tackle outside of the first round ain't good. A starting impact left tackle, it ain't good.
And you're also putting this – oh, good. Okay. Again, you have to trust your board, your scouts, what they think the difference is between the top tackle that might be out there and the next batch that, you don't know how many tackles are going to get taken between 7 and 38. That you might have a guy say, well, that guy probably is going to be there in 38. What if he's not there?
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, now what do we do? Mm-hmm. Like you have, because you're putting that left tackle, presumably, because they haven't addressed it in
now
free
you
agency.
Force yourself to trade and move up.
you put that. That's one thing that you might have to consider. The other thing you're doing, you're putting that left tackle next to a second-year guy that you think is going to be good, but that's going to be an awfully young left side. You need the best, I think. It just makes so much sense to me in a lot of ways with what they've done in the free agency. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe our answer would have been different if they didn't do the Ridley thing and maybe they went and got a tackle in free agency. Then we might have a completely different way of looking at it, but they haven't addressed it at all. They spent a ton of money for a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They've got to fix that. It's the number one glaring hole on the team. If you could fix it, it really could speed up your situation and put your quarterback in a much better spot. So you got to get that right. That's why I would prioritize that.
Yeah,
I just don't want to go into another season with a new coach and a young quarterback saying, "Well, let's see how it happens. Let's use a second round pick on that." Maybe it'll work out.
Yeah.
It's just
you've got to protect him.
You're going to have to protect, because my thing is, yes, you want to see what your quarterback is, and I know the pro for getting a wide receiver could be, well, you can really see how good your quarterback is once he gets a bona fide, you know, young stud wide receiver. You bring in a Dunze in here or Neighbors or Harrison in here and watch how he just skyrockets as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that may be true.
And
it
I think
may be true, but then again,
the track record of Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase would be the example what a receiver, an explosive receiver, can do
for
a quarterback.
And we're not saying, and I'm not sitting here saying that a explosive receiver will not help a young quarterback.
But an offensive line does too.
But an offensive line gives him the comfort. It's all about the comfort of the quarterback sitting in the pocket, not having to worry about anything. That receiver may make my numbers look better at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We may have a few more touchdowns at the end of the day, but my comfort is what I'm worried about right now. I don't want to have to take a three-step, five-step drop and be worried about, man, I'm going to get hit on my left side, or my offensive coordinator trying to devise a scheme to block with this front five, trying to find how do we double team. No, you go get your tackle, you ain't got to double team nobody. Put that left tackle on that edge rusher right there, the best edge rusher you got. Put that left tackle on him and leave him by himself. Now we can work the other four. If you don't have that left tackle, now I got to work up a scheme to double team this guy. How do we do this? How do we slant down all this other stuff? Because you're trying to buy more time to get it to these explosive receivers.
I will insert my adage that I have done already several times and I will continue to do through the end of this draft, probably throughout the summer. You cannot address every need this offseason. But what are the building blocks? What is the first thing you have to have? You've got to protect your quarterback. You can, in the coming years, especially now the way they've done it, the receivers, you've got to get the offensive line fixed to help your quarterback. This is a two-year project. It's not a one-year. You can't fix everything. I'm not worried about the most explosive guy. I want a left tackle. You don't have one.
And I think the counter-argument is...
get the best one.
The counter-argument is if you can score points and you have explosive playmakers, that can cover up a lot of warts. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't really have any receiver that could hold on to the football, and they still won the Super Bowl because they have a quarterback and they have a tight end and they had a defense that could cover up all the deficiencies on the rest of the roster. And I know that we're talking about the best
quarterback.
And they
had an offensive line that didn't get a holding penalty in the playoffs. Well, how that happened, I don't know, but they did.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And I know you don't have Patrick Mahomes. I know that when you have Patrick Mahomes, you can approach your roster construction a little bit differently. But I think that logic can apply, you know, to several other teams that have a quarterback or have a passing game or can score points or have the defense that cover up other needs specifically on the roster. But you're right. Like, they have a lot of needs, a lot of which have not gone addressed, a lot that we haven't talked about. They need a safety. They need an inside linebacker. I mean, Rand Carthon talked about it. They don't have a green dot right now. So there are very much so a lot of needs. You need bodies, at least, to feel a team.
Okay, so before that.
On that point, let's get into your point coming up next.
Okay.
And we'll get into some thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Lorelei Willie D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And today, the studio is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Paul Kuharsky was on with Robbie and Joe yesterday. He said, look, just because you got Calvin Ridley doesn't mean that you've, you know, checked all of your boxes at the wide receiver position. Paul says, if Malik Nabers is there at 7, screw left tackle, take the wide receiver. We are reacting to that. And that I understand the thought process, but also, and I would be so excited if the Titans took a Malik Nabers or a Marvin Harrison or a Roma Dunze, and thinking about what that passing game could be and that trio of receivers, it's exciting. But also, where are you going to find your left tackle? But before the break, D-Mace, you said you had a thought.
No, I was looking at, you know, the receivers in the league that, you know, were not first-round draft picks. Because I think it's easier to find a receiver outside of the first round. And I'm not just talking about any receiver. I'm talking about impact receivers outside the first round than it is trying to find a left tackle that is going to be basically a non-problem for the next 10 to 12 years for you.
Your next Luan, your next B-Hop.
It's harder to find it outside of the top 15 picks. There may be some gems here and there that you run into, but a lot of these guys that are Hall of Famers, that are, you know, perennial all pros, they are first-round picks. They're high-round picks. I looked at the receivers last year, and where did these guys get drafted? Tyreek Hill. He was outside the first round. Damn, he might have been outside the second round, too.
He had the issue off the field that but he took easily would have been a first round. I think probably a first round
But it
pick,
took
right?
him a minute to come on as a player.
Yeah.
Once he figured out the nuances of the position and how to play it, he exploded. You look at St. Brown. He was outside the first round. Puka Nacua. He was outside the first round. We know A.J. Brown was outside of the first round. D.J. Moore, outside of the first round. Brandon Ayuk, outside of the first round.
Where was Brandon Ayuk drafted?
He was drafted late in the first round.
Okay.
So he was 25th pick. So he was a first
round. Cross him off the list.
So I got to cross Ayuk off
Ayuk,
the list.
You're fine.
But you're looking at those top five or six receivers from last year outside of CeeDee Lamb. All these guys were outside the first round. You can't find you an explosive, you know, number one receiver outside the first round. It's harder to find a top-end all-pro left tackle outside of the top 10 or 15.
And remember our discussion of how the game has evolved, the seven-on-sevens, the year-round training, the nuanced teaching of wide receiver play. I think all that contributes to more wide receivers that you can find than offensive linemen, where it's been different. The game's evolved away from the pro style offensive lineman developing, right? So if you subscribe to that in a general sense, that also leads me towards take the tackle that you know is the best bet to be your staple that you need there, especially a guy you want to put in there on day one.
Yeah.
To protect your best, your most important asset, and that is your young quarterback.
And that is also, too, it's not just you want to put him in there day one. Like, he needs to be in there day one. But I think it would be an interesting case study to see, because I think that for all of the receivers that you just listed taken out of the first round, I could also make a list of incredibly explosive receivers that were taken in the first round that were projected to be what they ultimately came out to be. I'm interested to see, and, you know, I don't have it in front of me, the tackle situation of the hit versus miss on first round tackles. The offensive lineman taken outside of the first round that ended up being, you know, your right or your left tackle for the next 10 to 15 years. And it's easier to kind of take it off that, like, the dome with receivers, because you see them make plays on a consistent basis, that they're more faces of franchises than your left tackle is going to be. But I would be intrigued to see the hit versus miss rate on tackles versus receivers. And, of course, every draft is different. Like, every draft is different. Every player is going to be different. Every situation is different. Because if a receiver is stepping into a situation where they've got a great offensive line and they've got their franchise quarterback, well, then they're probably going to be set up in a much better situation. I think Jerry Jeudy is an interesting case study because Denver has just been in, I mean, it's been a revolving door at quarterback, revolving door at head coach, revolving door at offensive coordinator. Had Jerry Jeudy been drafted elsewhere into a more stable situation, would we be talking about him in a much different light than we are now? Same logic applies with quarterbacks. Young quarterbacks that get drafted into just horrendous situations. Like Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Imagine if they hadn't moved on from Urban Meyer. Maybe we'd be talking about Trevor Lawrence as a bust.
Yeah, okay. So I found a, just looking through here briefly while you were talking, because that was a good question. Like, what is the hit rate or success rate on positions outside, well, in the first round?
Yeah.
Like, the success rate.
Did you find some?
Yeah, I found a five-year. They did a five-year sample from 2013 to 17. Mm-hmm. Now, this study came out last year. I'm sure I can find a more current one. But wide receivers, out of 21 total in that span, eight were hits. We're talking about 38%. Tackle, 17 were drafted, 10 were hits. That's almost a 60% rate. Now, that was just a five-year span, 13 to 17. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to look to see if they have more of an up-to-date one. I can find what I need to find to make my point here. And is that the left tackle or the tackle position is a position you're going to get more of a hit rate mm-hmm. with in the first round rather than the wide receiver. I can get a wide receiver outside the second round. I mean, outside the first round. I wonder what is the hit rate for a wide receiver, or the success
outside
rate
of the outside of the first round
right. compared to a tackle.
And also the stories behind the numbers.
Exactly, the stories behind the numbers.
Like, what is a hit? Like, what would
be classified as a hit? Is it a, and I'm going to continue to read through here. Is it an all-pro player? Is it a Pro Bowl player? What would be considered a hit to in regards to this study? You know, is it just a guy that's a starter? Or is it an all-pro type of player?
We have breaking news. The Mets have their first lead of the season. Thank you.
Yeah.
They're playing your Tigers, D-Mace.
And we haven't lost the game yet.
It's 2-0 Mets. Brutal weather in New York. A doubleheader today because of rain out yesterday. So
how many games has it taken for the Mets to get their first
lead? This is game number four. This is game. No, sorry. Game number five. This is the fifth game. It took us that long to get the lead.
Well, it's about how you finish, not how you start,
really.
Right.
That's right. The Marlins are 0-7. It could be worse.
It could be worse. Yeah. Yes, it could. Man. I'm sorry, Willie.
It's going to be
a
long year.
But I'm happy for you today.
It's going to be a long year.
All right. Coming up next, the Predators have a big one tonight. But just how big is it? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, is your bracket not looking so good? You are not alone. And you don't need to worry because we have one final chance for you to win some great prizes with the 1025 The Game 4-Team Bracket Challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 4-team bracket to compete to win prizes, including tickets to see Creed at Ascend Amphitheater on August 13th. The 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.